Hello and welcome to the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and we're getting an update and introducing a new company on the show today, First Nordic Metals. It's traded on the TSXV under the ticker FNM and on the OTCQB under the ticker FNMCF. And I'm joined today with President and CEO Taj Singh and Chief Development Officer Adam Sigelski. And gentlemen, it's great to have you on the show to get an update on First Nordic Metals. And I want to throw it over to you first, Taj, just to talk about how these two companies came together to form First Nordic Metals. And I mean Barsele Minerals and Goldline. You were working as the CEO of Goldline. Adam is the founder of Goldline. You were looking at the natural synergies between these two projects to bring all these resources under one roof. But talk to us about the merger that happened to create First Nordic Metals.
Thanks, Shad. Thanks for having us. Yeah, listen, this is about as obvious and natural a merger as you can get. You know, properties are contiguous to each other. Goldline owned a lot of land, earlier stage, close to 100 kilometers of strike on a major belt called the Goldline Belt in northern Sweden. And right in the middle of it was the Barsele project, which was in a JV between Barsele Minerals and Agnico, and had already been drilled pretty extensively at an existing resource of around 2.5 million ounces in all categories of very good high grade combination open pit and underground material. And so I came into Goldline late last year and I said, eventually this makes sense to put together, you know, networks that we all have. And considering how the market was, we thought it made an obvious sense to move this forward. So it ended up being very fortuitous. We put Barsele and Goldline together. We knew the Barsele management, primarily the founder, Gary Cope, and it made sense to put these together, create a larger company, more liquid. And when you look at it, now you fully own the entire 100-kilometer stretch of Goldline Belt. That's really probably one of the least explored greenstone belts in the world. And I think really it's the beginnings of what's going to be the next major camp in the world, next major gold camp. So it made all the sense in the world to put these things together.
Well, and Adam, I would like to get your thoughts just as the founder of Goldline and someone that's been in this jurisdiction for a while, just the environment of mining in Sweden. I think it's underappreciated. There's a lot of big companies working there at very low cost. Maybe just speak to the advantages of working in Sweden before we dig into the actual project.
Thanks, Shad. Yeah, listen, Sweden is a fantastic place to do business. You're in a very stable jurisdiction where tenure is no issue. The rules are very clear, and the government is, you know, more recently incredibly supportive of mining. You've got a government that has just come in to power last year that is making some abrupt changes to, you know, the policy of uranium exploration, and critical minerals have become a very important topic for Scandinavia. And, you know, historically, you've got, you know, a very, very traditional nature to mineral exploration and development. You've got Boliden, which is a long-standing mineral development company, base metal producer in Sweden. Agnico has been actively mining with Kittila in Finland. So, you know, this jurisdiction is well known for many years. And most exciting is that it's incredibly underexplored. It's only opened up to modern exploration in the mid-90s. And, you know, you've had maybe 15, 20 years of modern exploration on a greenstone belt that, you know, we now control 100% of. So yeah, great place to do work, great place to be able to finance our projects. And yeah, we're very fortunate to be working in this jurisdiction.
Well, let's get into the Barsele project here. And Taj, I know that you're a man that likes to do a lot of research. So I'm sure you were doing your due diligence on the Barsele project and the overall resources in place before the two companies came together and tied the knot. What can you tell us about the existing resources and the project as it stands today?
Yeah, listen, when I did due diligence on this, our team, we kind of saw there was an existing resource there. And how I kind of like to look at projects is, you know, sure, there's ounces in the ground, but, you know, what's the economic potential of that? And I basically took the existing resource, which, by the way, drilled by Agnico, you know, it's high quality, you know, it's actually conservative, which all of those tick the box. But, you know, this kind of size, 2.5 million ounces, that's, you know, that's pretty significant, right? There's not a lot of deposits. I mean, this is one of the few deposits in the world of this size that are not sitting in fully inside a major. It's probably in the top 10, to be honest. But I looked at it and I said, assuming no growth, I already knew there was potential for growth. That's the big thing here. I think this thing goes to 3.5-4 million ounces, maybe five, just at Barsele alone. But assuming no growth, let's take a worst case scenario. Is there a mine here? And we ran economics. We looked at comparable operations in Europe, even some Northern Canadian operations. We quite a bit of work here, built a mine plan for due diligence level mine plan. And there's a mine there. It's already a mine there, assuming no growth, according to us. And that's what really made me excited because I said, just based on economics alone, with just what's sitting there now, you've got a mine and there's very high potential to grow it just at the Barsele project. And now you all of a sudden, to that development project, you all of a sudden add nearby exploration sizzle to find another Barsele, a Barsele 2, a Barsele 3 all in this belt. So no, it was extremely exciting and actually very obvious.
Well, and before we dig into some of the exploration targets at Barsele, where you can expand it, let's talk about Barsele 2 and 3 real quick. Adam, as the founder of Goldline, you've had this big mineralized trend under wraps here, and now it's combined with this Barsele deposit. So when you bring the two areas together, talk to us about the overall size, it's massive, of this mineralized trend.
Yeah, this first order structure, which we control 100% of now, is 104,000 hectares. The Paubakken project to the south covers about 40 kilometers to the south. At the bottom of our Paubakken project is another Dragon Mining, which is an operating mill and an open pit mine that was mined out. So obviously some infrastructure in place. To the north, you've got another 50 kilometers of this trend with multiple deposits, historical deposits that have been identified. So, it's unique to be able to have this size of a land package. If you saw this in Ontario, Quebec, you'd have 8, 10 companies kind of crowded around, all fighting for space and building stories around this. We get to do systematic exploration along the belt. We get to leverage the institutional knowledge there by Agnico and the work that they've done for the last 10 years. So really, you're now applying, what I think is an absolutely world-class team combined with the Agnico team's, existing infrastructure. And we made an early discovery at Paubakken that really got, put us on the mark. We were down to our last dollars at Goldline, and we drilled out 22 and a half meters of 2.5 grams on the southern end of the belt. And that's really what got things started. So from our perspective to now put it all together, it was always sort of a dream to be able to do that. And sometimes, you need to shuffle things around, and bringing Taj in is really, and the markets being so bad for the last 2, 3 years, crystallized this unique opportunity to bring these things together and create this unique opportunity to control this greenstone belt in Sweden, and as well as the belt we have in Finland.
Well, let's dive into some of the exploration targets that you want to prioritize closer to the top of the list. Obviously, there's a ton of targets on a land package that big, both some of the targets that Goldline had and that Barsele had. But let's start with at Barsele, just around the known deposit. What are the key targets the team wants to get on the ground and work on first?
Yeah. So at the Barsele main deposit, it covers a strike of about 3.5 kilometers, a little over 3.5 kilometers, kind of three main zones. The bulk of the economics and the value are sitting in the underground. There's a starter open pit, which is great for paying back CapEx, a very obvious open pit. But the very obvious thing, Shad, from looking at sections and really digging into the resources, there's very obvious growth potential at depth, as well as along strike, but the depth component of it is very obvious. This resource goes down 600 meters or so, a little bit below that, but we've hit mineralization down a kilometer below. And these types of systems and this kind of greenstone geology, like we see in Northern Ontario and in other parts of Europe, in this kind of setting, geological setting, they can go down a kilometer, 2 kilometers. This is the nature of these kinds of systems. So the very obvious growth potential is at depth, and I think we want to show that, and that's very obvious that will grow along strike as well. The corridor sitting at Barsele's over 7 kilometers, 3.5, 3.6 is sitting in the current resource. The rest of that corridor has not really been tested fully. There's been a few holes put in, and obviously there's been gold there, but it hasn't really been tested because you've already gotten to a nice critical mass of the resource. Then even regional to the Barsele project, you've got some very interesting targets. You've actually, at the Barsele kind of project, you've got an interesting situation. You've got the Goldline belt, the precious metal belt, as well as a very prolific and very productive VMS belt, base metal belt that's gold rich, the Skellefteå belt that Boliden has had countless mines on, and various other operators, both private and public, have operated on and currently do operate on. There's a very interesting target called the Nora target, which has very high gold, copper, zinc, lead. So that's going to continue to be worked on. There's actually enough drilling internally inside Agnico where You could likely have a resource right away on that, but they've been obviously they're a larger company, so they're going to continue to work on it. More information comes out on it. There's also a very interesting target along the corridor called the Risberger target, gold at surface. Looks like it very obviously could add to the current resource and be potentially open pit material to start off the operation. So those are two obvious targets at the Barsele project, Chad, that we'd be working on.
Okay, so in addition to going deeper at the main area, also that Risberger target for more gold, and then the Nora VMS zone, which has more of that polymetallic nature to it. So definitely some targets for investors to keep their eyes on. Adam, you had mentioned that the Paul Bakken area has had some substantial work. Will that be getting some drilling in the year to come as well? And what other targets can you bring up maybe on the rest of the mineralized trend that are of note?
Yeah, we've got a high priority on the Paul Bakken project in the short term because we've really not been able to follow that up appropriately. As we made the discovery, the first campaign we drilled five holes and we hit on the third hole. And again, that was our discovery hole that really put Paul Bakken on the map. We followed that up with another 1,000 meters of drilling the next year. So Paul Bakken, specifically, there are multiple targets at Paul Bakken. The Aida target is where we made the discovery. The Aida target is about a 4.5-5 kilometer structurally controlled corridor. We made our discovery, right in the middle of that belt. We've confirmed 600 meters of the 4.5 kilometers are mineralized. We have not tested the balance. We have some results coming to the market here in the next few weeks, I think, which is going to continue to extend the mineralized zone. But that is essentially a 4.5 kilometer structure that deserves a 10,000 meter drill program. So what we'd like to do is, really focus in, I think, on the Aida target. And to be honest, the Aida target and Paul Bakken is what got Taj really excited about, all of this. He knew Barsele down the road might happen, but when his team did the due diligence, they said, "Wow, there's something very unique here. This deserves to be followed up on," and it was an obvious, step forward. So that'll be the priority. The Harpson target just north of there is another sort of 3-4 kilometer structure that's been extended. We had a whole bunch of geochemistry done there that you're going to see. And I think we've got some exciting developments up in Storjuktan, which is north of Barsele. And we're seeing some very interesting similarities to the Barsele deposit in the north at Storjuktan. So, we'll share that information with the market here soon, and that's going to sort of drive the work programs. But typically in Sweden, you get students out and do big sampling programs across the summertime. So we're going to mobilize a bunch of students through our partnerships in Sweden across both projects, and then ultimately follow it up with targeted bot drilling as well as diamond drilling.
All right, so lots of exploration targets and also using students to your advantage to do some of the groundwork there, keeping those costs down in Sweden. We will get into some of these targets in future interviews and drill into them more granularly. But just for now, I think a lot of people can tell there's a lot of exploration work on tap for the company this year and to come. A lot of people want to know who is the team behind the company, though. So if both of you gentlemen could share your background, I guess Taj would start with you, just your background in the mining industry. And if you want to share any other key personnel at the company behind First Nordic Metals that's making this adventure go.
Yeah, I'll give it a first crack, Shad. I've been involved in the mining industry my entire kind of professional career, close to 24, 25 years now. Most recently of note, I was a founder presidency of NOA Lithium Brines, which is moving towards a development of Argentinian lithium brine, portfolio of Argentinian lithium brine projects. Prior to that, where I spent a lot of time, close to about 5.5, 6 years, was president, founding presidency of Discovery Silver, focused in Mexico, where that project is now moving towards construction. It is the world's largest silver deposit. And very similar to the Barsele project, I will point out it was a project that had a lot of work on it, a lot of drilling, kind of got forgotten about. We acquired it for a little over $10 million, maybe a little less actually. And that company eventually grew to over $750 million market cap. And a lot of money was raised in the process. And now, like I said, it's moving towards construction. Hopefully, a similar thing can be done here at Barsele. So, and prior to Discovery, I was also almost at a similar time overlapping a founding a director and lead independent director at GT Gold. We went public with the company in late 2016. And in 2020, it was sold to Newmont for $400 million. that was very opportunistic and a good time to do things, and we had a lot of good success there. And then prior to that, I worked in Mexico again as a vice president for Timmins Gold, which is a gold producer, produced about 125, 150,000 ounce a year. Most of it went into Argonaut Gold, which is now sitting inside Alamos Gold. So that's moved forward as well. Prior to that, I was an analyst at Macquarie for a couple of years. So I was able to see assets all over the world and report on them. And a lot of my kind of valuation background and how to value these projects and assets was built up at that time. And then prior to that, I spent a decade in my early part of my career at Inco, which was one of the world's largest nickel producers, which was then acquired by Vale. So I was half the time at Inco and half at Vale, and again got to work at all types of very, very large operations around the world, and was pretty heavily involved in a lot of the capital projects at various operations. So that's my background: engineering, mineral processing, metallurgy, and then obviously been in capital markets for a big part of my career. Adam, on to you.
That's really tough to follow, but I've been an entrepreneur my whole career. I came out of university, studying applied biochemistry, and really fell down the rabbit hole of junior mining and the opportunities around making discoveries. Built an industrial minerals project in Uganda and sold it to Rio Tinto sort of in the mid 2000s. So I had my first experience sort of in mineral development, project development, and eventually successfully selling the project to a major, small transaction, but still meaningful at the time for the company. And then I was founding director with our current VPX, Benjamin Gelber, of a company called Kaden Resources, and worked with some really great entrepreneurs, some of the best, Ivan Bebek and Sean Wallace at Kaden Resources, and had a wonderful experience there. That company eventually, through the leadership of the team there, sold to Agnico for 210 million, and I followed that up with a technology company that I founded and financed and built, and ultimately had an itch to get back into mining and saw what was happening with the gold price and realized that there was another exciting trend developing, and unfortunately didn't quite time it as well as Taj times his entries into companies, and took Goldline public with some other people on the team that I think are great additions. Toby Pierce is our chairman. He was my chairman at Goldline Resources and helped in securing Taj. And Toby's now our chairman, and Ben Gelber, who I recruited to Goldline Resources, was, with Keegan Resources, which became Asanko, and he led that. He was there from the original discovery hole all the way through the feasibility studies to construction and commercial production for a few years. He ended up going to Barrick for a few years, and then I recruited him out of Barrick to sort of take on this adventure in Sweden. And then, we've got some key advisors, in our team as well. We've got some, Benny Matheson, who was a former exploration geo at Boliden, probably made 10 of those discoveries of those, discoveries they have at Boliden across that VMS belt. And, just continuously trying to develop a world-class team to complement all the people that we have to really take advantage of a very unique situation in Sweden.
Well, and guys, just as we wrap up, Taj, I'll throw this over to you. Just bring us up to speed on the financial strength of the company. Anything you want to say about some of the strategic holders, and then just any final thoughts that you want investors to know about how the company is poised to attack the work programs for this year?
Yes, we just did a small raise just upon closing the deal in late February, a little bit over $1 million, kind of to get the deal done and move forward. And we're now, just recently, I'd say in the past week to two, we're fully rebranded, relaunched First Nordic Metals, and kind of like really getting out there and marketing the company. It's been nice to have the gold backdrop and positive gold backdrop. So we'll continue to push through. We'd like at some point to opportunistically bring in some funds here and move forward that way. Capital structure is nice and tight, and some very good shareholders. We're sitting at about 30% insider ownership, which I think is very important, which includes board, management, founders, et cetera. And then we've got about 50% kind of institutional and strategic, which has been great to have. And then we've got about 20% retail. So stock has been trading very well, good volumes, been moving in the right direction and picking up some momentum. So hopefully we can continue to do that. And I would say, like, this is really a new opportunity. I mean, Barsele at one point was a 200 million market cap company not too long ago. I think it just got kind of forgotten. And I would say that was at a lower gold price. I know that. Then all of a sudden, you've added an entire belt. You've added an asset, an interesting asset in Finland, which we can talk about when we come later, kind of a yet another greenstone belt we can work on. But it's even more value has been added here. And I think that with the momentum we're getting with the gold price, and as people start really finding it out how good of a jurisdiction Sweden is, this really is, I believe, the next major gold camp in a tier one jurisdiction that's going to be moved forward in the world. So we're very exciting.
Well, we'll definitely keep following along here at the KE Report. When you guys put out some more drill news or announce any more work programs, let us know. We'll get you back on the show for an update. And if people want to follow along with the news at First Nordic Metals, definitely click on the link below this interview. It takes you over to the company website to their news section. And gentlemen, keep us posted. Glad you spent some time with us introducing the company here on the KE Report, and looking forward to our next conversation.
Thanks, Rod.
Thanks.